My fellow plebs, River is setting a new standard in Bitcoin. At river.com, you'll pay zero fees when you dollar cost average. Truly the best way to build your Bitcoin wealth. All Bitcoin at River is held in secure cold storage with 100% full reserves. There's no need to wonder what's happening behind the scenes. Your Bitcoin is your Bitcoin to withdraw at any time. Additionally, River lets you make Bitcoin payments via the Lightning Network, offers a Lightning integration for developers, and allows you to mine Bitcoin directly to your River account. River has a level of service that is unheard of in this industry, including phone support, private client advisors, and the ability to designate beneficiaries to inherit your Bitcoin wealth. River has become the premium name in Bitcoin that anyone can easily access. Sure, you have a place to buy Bitcoin, but have you tried River? See and feel the difference at river.com and the River iOS app, the preferred partner of Bitcoin Magazine. My fellow plebs, today's podcast is also brought to you by Moon Mortgage. As the world moves increasingly towards the mainstream adoption of Bitcoin and other digital assets, Moon Mortgage makes it possible to materialize your assets into real estate. Through the collateralization of mortgages with Bitcoin and other digital assets, Moon Mortgage will be launching lending solutions to allow investors to easily leverage their assets to purchase investments in owner-occupied property. Moon Mortgage's crypto mortgage will be launching soon for home buyers in Texas, Florida, and Colorado, and will also be open to investors in most states across the U.S. for investment properties. Welcome to the future of mortgages. Visit moonmortgage.com today to register and learn more. Moon Mortgage Residential is registered with the NMLS under number 235334. Today's episode is brought to you by Gordon Law Group. If you've tried to do Bitcoin taxes yourself, you know how complicated it is. You can spend hours and hours going through your transactions and researching tax forms, and you're still not sure if it's right or if the IRS will come after you. Or maybe you're so intimidated by Bitcoin taxes that you don't even know where to start. Gordon Law Group can help. Ditch the spreadsheets and feel confident with a bulletproof Bitcoin tax return. They can help with IRS payment plans, and they also provide a full range of legal and accounting services for Bitcoin and digital asset startups. Get your taxes done right the first time with the original Bitcoin and digital asset tax pros. Go to GordonLawLTD.com/BTC. As a bonus, they'll send you the ultimate Bitcoin tax guide for free. That's GordonLawLTD.com/BTC.
What's this I keep seeing about space heaters? Bring us up to speed on what I've been seeing about space heaters over there, BTC sessions.
Yeah. This one was a long time coming, but I did a video that I dropped yesterday. I did a tutorial on how to actually take an S9 miner, which right now, you know, if you were just mining with it, you're likely not making any profit. However, if you can find a dual purpose to it, then it can be helpful. So what you can do is you can basically retrofit it. Well, you don't need to do too much. You basically swap out the fans on it, and then you put it in a nice 3D printed case from CryptoCloaks, and it becomes a space heater. And so what ends up happening is you eliminate most of the sound, because obviously miners are loud. By changing out the fans, you eliminate the sound, you turn down the amount of power going to it and make the fans go a little bit slower. And then, yeah, you basically, if you're running space heaters anyways, like if you've got a cold living room or something, which my wife always has a space heater going, yeah, you can just plunk this in your living room. You can get them cheap secondhand. And then you've got a nice little space heater that's quieter than your regular space heater that uses less power and then also mines some Bitcoin in the process. So I went through the whole process of building it, you know, tweaking the settings and basically showing how you can get yourself a Bitcoin mining space heater on the cheap. I think all in with the miner and the 3D printed case and the different fans, it was maybe 250 or $300, something like that. So, you know, not bad. And a really good, like, if you're just looking to learn about mining, I'd say this is probably the best way to do it, just because then you actually have something you can use. It doesn't matter that it's not profitable because it's basically reimbursing part of your electricity bill that you were going to use on a space heater anyways. So yeah, I dropped that in the nest too. I'm sure there'll be a number of topics that I can just drop videos in the nest for.
Life hacking with BTC sessions. I love it. Yeah. I was reading through some of those tweets and I'm like, well, this is perfect because you got a ton of people. I mean, maybe we're moving a little into the summer months, but for the winter there, you got a ton of people who are spending insane amounts of money to heat their places. So I think it's double whammy right there. That's awesome. Chris Smith, welcome up, buddy. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Good morning. I'm actually going to leave and join from the conference Twitter so we can get them up. So be right back.
Okay, sounds good. And then NVK, I have a question for you and V. I have not used a CoinKite yet. I've seen it. It looks like a very sleek design. I'm wondering if like we could just kind of start the conversation off for maybe anybody who's listening who's not familiar with CoinKite, or maybe, you know, what the differences are in your versus maybe some of the other things that are out there. Maybe we could start off there and you could tell us just a little bit about it.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of different things. So the Cold Card is a Bitcoin only hardware wallet that sort of like came into the space because there weren't any Bitcoin only hardware wallet that did things the Bitcoin way, that had the level of security that we found acceptable and sort of had other kinds of game theory on it and had more Bitcoin advanced features on it too. So Cold Card sort of like lives in between a Trezor and a Ledger. The whole source is viewable, verifiable, but it does use secure elements. So it has a lot more security than you find on a Trezor. It has a lot more Bitcoin features than you find on a Trezor, but you also use a secure element like Ledger would, giving you that much greater physical security for the device. And, we are a Bitcoiner company that makes coin products. And being able to make a hardware wallet that's from Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners and is Bitcoin only gives us a lot more latitude on the features that we can add because we don't have to support all the shitcoins. And that sort of like that makes a huge difference. That also gives us less shitty shitcoin code that we have to support that could add more security issues. We also made this thing called PSBTs, which is a standard for you to sign transactions, become the standard so that your software, your Bitcoin software doesn't even need to know which hardware wallet you're using, which, you know, increases the security on that. We made the first AirGap Bitcoin hardware wallet so that you don't have to have wires, and that greatly also increases your security. You're going to hear a lot about security. essentially our goal is to make sure you don't get robbed.
I love that. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask. So thank you for that. Yeah, so I like to treat these spaces across the board. Like I feel like sometimes as Bitcoiners, we take it for granted that we understand all this stuff. So maybe for somebody who's listening, who's not as familiar with, you know, what is the purpose of self-custodying your Bitcoin? And then what are those security, you know, layers that you guys have implemented? And why is that important for people?
So, you know, I like to think like very, very oversimplifying that Bitcoin offers you two upsides, right? You have the price upside, which is because of its deflationary aspects, right? So Bitcoin has a fixed supply. And the other aspect is the fact that is the first money that is digital that you can actually own. So you don't have any intermediaries. So if you go and you buy some Bitcoin on, say, Coinbase or something, you know, it's not really your Bitcoin. It's not different than having money at a bank, minus the FDIC insurance. So technically, if they go away, you know, your Bitcoin is gone. So all that number go up that you were chasing may be gone. Now, if you do the correct way of using Bitcoin, which is you go, you buy it, and then you withdraw from there, you take custody of it into your hardware wallet, now you are sovereign, right? It's very similar to having gold in your house. they would have to come break in to take it from you. So, you know, right now we are going through a very weird time in the banking space. We just had Silvergate issues. We had Silicon Valley Bank issues. And, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who's not a little worried about their money in the bank. So with Bitcoin, you can just do that. You can actually take the possession, but you don't have to worry about, you know, like a forklift that you need to carry gold around. You can just sort of remember this 24-12 words. And technically, you could just like take a flight and go to a different country if you wanted to. The money is yours. It's in your head. These devices that we make just help you sort of securely and more practically take that self-custody.
Love that. Thank you so much. Yeah, I always like to kind of just break it down for people. That was such a good breakdown. And BTC Sessions, I know you've done tons of teaching and tutorials on this. I actually think you're doing a cold card like workshop in Miami coming up.
I am. So. Yeah. Yeah. It's the third time doing it, actually. So, I mean, you know, some people, they because cold card is so richly featured, because there's so much you can do with it. You know, I think everybody in some aspect, whether it be self-custody in general or even just like getting into Bitcoin, they get into this analysis paralysis where they think like, oh, there's too many things to do at once, so I'm not going to do anything. But really, the cold card can be as user friendly or as advanced as you'd like it to be. And so, you know, I've taught people, the other month ago, I was on a one-on-one call with a guy and his 65-year-old mother, who within the course of like an hour, hour and a half, was air gapping transactions with her SD card like a boss, which was awesome to see. And so, yeah, basically what I'm doing in Miami, I did in Vancouver, and I also did in LA around Pacific Bitcoin. This will be the first time doing it in Miami on the 17th. So the day before industry day, that's the Wednesday, I'm hosting a 4-hour cold card deep dive. And so pretty much people can, you know, if people want to grab tickets for it, pretty much you can, you know, pick up a bundle of everything you need if you do need the device and the peripherals, or you can just bring your own stuff. That's fine too. And pretty much we're gonna start from the basics. We're gonna start with okay, you know, how do I set this thing up? How do I do the basics of like backing it up and getting my seed phrase and everything? Then we're going to use it with desktop, just doing the air gapping thing that I explained, basically being able to do transactions without ever plugging it into anything connected to the internet. We'll do, you know, wipe the device and practice restoring it, like basic things that you want to be able to do. You want to be able to set it up, use it, and restore it in case you, you know, break the device and need to replace it or something like that. And then after that, we're going to get into some of the more advanced stuff. So we're going to dive into how do you do trick pins, which cold card has this really cool thing where you have a pin to access the device. And, you know, some other devices have the basic functionality of, oh, you know, if you put in a different pin, then you could have like a different wallet or it's linked to a passphrase or something. But cold card, you get a lot more granular with it. You basically have the function that says, You can set it up so you say, if I put in this pin, then this will happen. So you can say like, if I put in this pin, I go to my regular wallet. If I put in this pin, I go to a decoy wallet with a small amount of funds instead of my real amount. If I put in this pin, then I lock down the device for a day. Or if I put in this pin, then it wipes the device. Or if I put in this pin, then the device is bricked and is useless. So like if somebody's threatening you with a $5 wrench, you can just, oh, my thumb slipped, it's broken, I don't know what happened. So there's all these cool things you can do with it. We're going to be, you know, diving into other things where you can be the Uncle Jim for your family and use something called BIP85 to create additional seeds or use those seeds for your hot wallets and everything. And you kind of have one key to rule them all, and you can regenerate all these little child wallets or child keys. There's just so much to cover. And, you know, my goal is for anybody that's going, that you'll go from zero to hero and beyond. So, you know, the goal is you walk out of the room and you've got a deeper cold card knowledge than, you know, most people on the planet. So it's a 4-hour deep dive. It goes from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. May 17th. And that's a Wednesday. And so, yeah, that also is now in the nest. I'm so sorry with the spam up there.
No, I love it. Hey, come for the cold card tutorial session with BTC Sessions and stay for the Bitcoin conference. You know, I love it. Yeah, so I have to plug it myself. You know, we're going to be in Miami May 18th through the 20th. So many learning opportunities. This is the way. There's just so much education, I think, that still needs to happen for people who are trying to understand Bitcoin fundamentally, how to use it, how to keep it safe. I actually did not know that the cold card had that many features. I think the two that stand out the most to me are the different pins that you can have to keep yourself protected, and the fact that you can do things offline. That's huge. And I think, NVK, that's probably what you're referring to with the different levels of security, right?
You know, the Brick Me Pin feature has a funny story. I was going through an airport and I had forgotten a cold card with me, and I didn't want to risk going through customs with it. So I just powered it on in line and I pressed the Brick Me Pin and I destroyed the device before I crossed the border. So, it's funny, like, these things actually have useful reasons to exist in the real world.
I love that. An accidental understanding of a feature that is needed. I love it. That's great.
Carly.
I was going to say, V, I want to pull you into the combo. Talk to us.
Sure. So, you know, I recently joined CoinKite, but I've been a longtime user of their products. And like NVK has stated, the main huge gain I saw from the wallet is the ability to use something called PSBT, pre-signed Bitcoin transactions. This launched maybe in like 2018 or something like that, or 2019. It was BIP 174, and Cold Card, I believe, was the first to champion that. So it made it very easy to then form transactions and combine them with the other party and then broadcast them somewhere else. You kind of split up the process of actually forming the transaction. And then this goes into maybe for the new users or the, like, you know, earlier Bitcoiners that are on their journey. We have that saying, you know, not your keys, not your coins. There's also not your node, not your rules. So we have to figure out how to store those keys safely on that device and use whatever we have within our comfort and our paranoia to then send the Bitcoin and create that transaction. And then put that transaction on a device that has a full node, you know, the full transaction UTXO set, and then get that broadcasted in the network. And the more we connect all these devices together, the more we're at risk of losing those keys. So the cold card has really cool features where you can form the transaction, put it on a micro SD, and then move that micro SD to the laptop or somewhere else where you're actually sending that transaction. So there's certain features like that, which I loved because I was a nerd and I went down the tinfoil hole mentality, you know, just did a lot of hacking and tinkering. But these days, what's even more unique and accessible for the new users is something called the SATS card and the tap signer. These are using NFC, and now it's very easy to receive Bitcoin or quickly sign a transaction, because it's as simple as a tap. And, you know, now in America, we're slowly starting to get those contactless payments rolled out. So these user behaviors are starting to become more normalized. So everything looks very interesting and, you know, bright for this whole Bitcoin transaction usability and accessibility going into the next bull market. I'm extremely excited.
My fellow plebs, come celebrate Bitcoin Winter in Miami at Bitcoin 2023. the largest Bitcoin conference in the world, returns to Miami from Miami 18th to the 20th. Head on over to b.tc/conference to get your tickets today. Use promo code BMLive to get 10% off your tickets before prices go up. Plebs, if you're like me and want to gain a deeper understanding of what's going on within the Bitcoin market and broader macro environment, then you need to subscribe to Bitcoin Magazine Pro today. There's a free and a paid version of this daily newsletter where our market analysts Dylan LeClaire, Dr. Jeff Ross, and Sam Rule break down what's going on in the market so you don't have to. Subscribe today at BitcoinMagazinePro.com. As 2023 begins, the broke issue stares head-on into the looming realities of a broken economy, a more broke central bank, and considers how Bitcoiners can share their knowledge, their projects, and their mentalities to remain strong economic nodes throughout the winter. As a global Bitcoin news medium with a mission to accelerate hyper-Bitcoinization, Bitcoin Magazine is for all Bitcoiners, the curious, convicted, and the maximalists. Inside Bitcoin Magazine, you will find exclusive interviews and profiles with leading Bitcoiners, actionable insights on the state of the market, breaking news and cultural trends, and powerful photos and artwork from the best artists in the world. Each issue will be shipped safely in a secure box mailer to protect the integrity of each copy. Print magazines, not money. Buy Bitcoin Magazine.
Yeah, so question for the panel. So the other day, my friend just asked me, what is the best process to get Bitcoin in cold storage? And I've gotten this question a few times, and throughout my journey kind of down the rabbit hole, down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, I've given a plethora of answers from when I didn't really understand cold storage. It was, oh, just get any wallet and throw it in, to kind of suggesting a different variety of methods. But I'm curious, what is y'all's advice to Bitcoiners who get asked this question, who may only have a small amount of time to explain it or give some advice to that person?
So I have this like very simple like path for people to take. I think the first thing people should do is get a phone wallet, right? Like Nunchuck or something like that. Don't withdraw like $20 of the amount of Bitcoin you bought on an exchange and play with it. Send to some friends, buy some stuff online, you know, back up those words and play a little bit. And like, once you get a little comfortable with that, everything else starts to really make sense to you. Then you can start looking into, hey, I'm going to buy a cold card and I'm going to withdraw all my money to it. But don't do that as the first act, because you will get overwhelmed. It's just so much easier to just play a little. Like, you know, play money is like the best way to learn.
And then the mentality also with that is you don't need cold storage right away. It's more of like, what is the appropriate way to store the amount of Bitcoin that you have for that specific use case? So if you had like, you know, you gifted someone $50 worth of Bitcoin, it might not make sense to have like a $150 cold card to protect that, right? It might make more sense to have a tap signer with Nunchuck just because of just that amount. However, you have to also keep in mind that if you're transacting with that amount and we have our fluctuations with the dollar price, then suddenly in a bull market that became $1,000, and then therefore you should move to a cold card. So you have to kind of just get comfortable with the tools, see where along you are on that journey, how much is on that device. And then as it becomes more and more, then you go further down the rabbit hole and start looking at things like multi-sig and how to use your own node and not reveal XPubs and like privacy related issues, things like that. But like MVK said, I think it's just tinkering, you know, you just have to go there, just like play with the tools and don't feel so pressured. Like I know some people are very intimidated just by the sight of a wallet, but everything's very accessible now. You know, BTC Sessions has a bunch of tutorials on whatever products you want to use of ours. It's all over. And then I guess there's even other services, you know, that can do collaborative custody. So it's basically where they are on the journey. And that's why I'm a huge fan of the Sats card, because you could literally, it's like the Open Dime as well. These are the best orange pillars. If you want to orange pill someone, this is the best way to do it. At their wedding, at their birthday or something, You just put some Bitcoin on this and then you hand it over to them and they forget about it. It's like you're planting a seed in their brain. And then later in 2 years, 4 years, whenever the bull run is, they'll come back to you and be like, hey, you gave me that like Bitcoin, like crypto thing, and I think it's like worth a lot, right? And then you do the math and you're like, oh, holy shit. Yeah, you actually have $1,000. You should probably move that. And then, you know, they come back to you and then you have to like kind of hold their hand and guide them through a tutorial. And then now you've orange-pilled them, and then they do that for someone else, and we just pave it forward.
You know, back in the day, like in the early days of Bitcoin, we would go and give people paper wallets, or we would have people set up very early Bitcoin phone wallet that was kind of terrible at the time. And, you know, you'd give people, you know, 10 Bitcoin, 20 Bitcoin, like here's like $20 worth of Bitcoin. And like every single person of that time lost it. They lost the gift because they wouldn't install the app. They would, you know, the paper wall would get damaged. And that's kind of how the OpenDime was born, is because, you know, we wanted a way for you to like give something physical that people sort of like can just sort of retain something physical, which is a lot easier for them to keep without losing, without damaging. And, you know, then the Sats card and stuff. So being able to gift somebody physical without them having to understand how to receive it, aside from just holding it and not losing it, it's kind of a huge deal. One fun way of orange peeling people is that you just drop a Sats card as the tip in a restaurant and you say, hey, if you figure out how to use this, there's Bitcoin in it.
I love that. I love it.
I'm bringing a few Sats cards down to Miami. I think I'm going to put them strategically around the conference. When I travel, I've taken to doing little scavenger hunts for everybody, and I'll load up, you know, up until now I've done it with open dimes, but I think I'm going to do some Sats cards this time. But so I did this in New York, and I also did it in France for Serving Bitcoin last year. But I went to New York last summer, I think. Yeah, I went to New York last summer, and I brought a few different open dimes with me. And I planted them randomly around the city, and then I would just tweet out a picture with like a me kind of drawing over the picture roughly where the open dime was planted. And it was just like taped to like a little card that said like, hey, you know, go here to learn how to get the Bitcoin off this. And it would be like a little open dime, which looks like a USB drive. And I swear to God, I put one under a bench in New York City in Central Park. And I tweeted out the picture of where it was. And I, 5 minutes later, I see on Twitter that somebody already has it. There was a UPS guy that was working and he was across the street. He parked his truck and he sprinted into the park and got it from underneath this bench in the middle of the city. And he took a picture of him holding it. And he's like, I got it. So I did another one at America's First Pizza Place in Manhattan. And then I also did another one at the Ghostbusters Firehouse. And yeah, they all got snapped up. I did same thing in France, in this smaller place called Biarritz on the coast for Surfing Bitcoin. I went to the top of a lighthouse looking the coast, and it's like a tourist spot. You can kind of go up there and pay to get in and everything. But I went up there and I snuck it, like hit it in kind of the roof, and I took a picture of it. And like 45 minutes later, two dudes, I guess, had like sprinted across the city, got to the top of this lighthouse and had found the open dime. It's crazy how, you know, like if there's Bitcoiners in the area, they will haul ass to get these things and get their free sats.
You gotta love this. At the Nostrica conference, we made the Nostrica like design sats cards. And we started giving to the whole conference, and then we let people know that like out of whatever a few hundred cards that we had out there, there were like at least like 10 to probably 20, 50 of them that had like $100 to $200 worth of Bitcoin. People started to pay attention to theirs and started all checking. It was pretty funny.
You guys made a treasure hunt.
I love that.
Yeah, I think all in all, this is just a really good idea, though. So thank you for answering my question. I think I have a really hard time with my generation actually being able to retain their attention for a really long time. There's so many resources that I could send them to, whether it be Bitcoin Magazine articles, BT session tutorials. But all in all, I think what a winner strategy is, and I'm glad you guys mentioned it, is just giving them a cold card and telling them to figure it out. Because my generation is great at figuring things out and researching and going on the internet and doing things themselves, but they have a hard time just sitting there listening and understanding things from a P2P point of view. So I'm going to try this, and MBK Sessions, I'll tell you how it works out.
I was just thinking, I mean, you guys are planting the seed. I feel like this needs to happen at the conference. We need to have a little scavenger hunt. I love that. And I've done that with my family. I always gift them coin, and it's exactly what you said, V. Like, I've been doing it for years, and it's, you know, $50 here, $100 there. And then sure enough, over the last, you know, few months with everything going on with the banking and all of that stuff, a couple of them have come to me and said, oh yeah, you gifted me that I want to get more of that. How do I do that? So it's a perfect way to just get people hands on with their Bitcoin. So I also want to welcome up Denim All Caps to the stage. Thank you for joining us.
Yo, Carly. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Jump in.
Hey, yeah, you know, Ben, it was great to chat with you yesterday as well. And NVK, it's always good to see you up here. But Ben, hearing you speak about traveling to different places gave me serious nostalgia of previous times where I got to travel abroad a fair amount. And NVK, you just did Costa Rica. I'd be really curious about more, and the live stream was really great for Costa Rica, but could you elaborate on, you know, just what your experience of that was, and just like what takeaways you have of Costa Rican people, and just, you know, some of us haven't traveled as much and we'd love to hear more.
Yeah, I mean, like, I must say, like, Costa Rica was like, it was a miracle they got together. Like, it was all planned in like 2 months. So props to the people, like everybody who helped organize. And it was very special. You know, we did essentially a Nostra conference in a remote, essentially surfer town called Uvita, where it's also Bitcoin jungle. It's amazing. Like, every single business in Uvita, with very few exceptions, accept Bitcoin. And it's not like a weird ask either. It's just like, oh, Bitcoin. Okay, they pull out the phone and you pay. And like the farmer's market and the butcher shop. So that was really cool. The conference itself was done at the Awake space, which is sort of like a yoga retreat kind of space. They were, a lot of them are vegans. They were very kind and let us barbecue on the corner of the property as well. So that was cool. And it was a very good way for sort of like Nostr, which is a nascent technology, to have people start to meet in person and develop those relationships so that people can sort of collaborate better. And we got a lot of the devs there. There were a lot of people that sort of like learn about Nostr and also Bitcoin at the same time there. There was kind of like a Bitcoin 101 session there as well. And I mean, Costa Rica is fantastic. What a like super nice people. The food is fantastic. It's super safe. I can't recommend enough. I mean, I did look to my wife and I said, hey, how do you feel about just moving here?
Yeah, I think I was there in around like 2007 or 2008. And it's really great because each coast is very different. And yeah, big surfer community. And yeah, the live stream was really great. It's really fun when you can start to pick out persons from our community there, or even employees. And it was, you know, hats off to Alex and everybody else who pulled that off. Yeah, it looked really special. I heard it had a really great vibe.
I've been dying to get down there.
The vibes are perfect.
I was just going to say, I've been dying to get down there. I'm sold. I actually did not know, but I've heard you and many other people talking about it, that Bitcoin adoption has really been spread out across at least that area. I'm not sure if all of Costa Rica is like that, but I'm curious, like, is that where Bitcoiners are going to end up moving to? Is that the next spot?
There is about, like, I want to say about, like, 200 Bitcoiners who moved around there in the last few years. It's kind of crazy. And a lot of them did not coordinate. Like, somehow that place just draws Bitcoiners. And it's very cool.
I wasn't down for Costa Rica, but I went down last year with the family. And while I was down, I wasn't in the same place where, you know, Coin Jungle is, but I went to a place called Tamarindo and Tuna. And I had tweeted out, hey, are there any Bitcoiners in the area? And I ended up meeting up with two different guys. Turns out both of them were Canadian escapees that basically skipped the country while the rest of us were locked in our homes. So they basically got out of Canada and moved down to Costa Rica. And the one guy, I was actually the first in-person Bitcoiner that he met. And I think because he had gone through a lot just prior to this, you know, he had basically made the call to leave his business behind in Canada and leave everything he had built after that, you know, however many years, and move his entire family. Like, he had young kids, they all moved down there. And so he was still like kind of reeling from making that decision. And on top of this thing, he's been like in the Bitcoin space, but like had never really met and hung out with a Bitcoiner. And so he had, you know, this, you know, back of his head kind of, am I just like the crazy one? And like, I'm, you know, I've never met anybody to this, you know, a Bitcoiner in person. I've never been able to speak about all of these things that are on my mind. And so we got together and we sat down and he started telling me about this. Yeah, that actually had tears in his eyes because he finally got to have this like cathartic release of like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. I get to like speak about this with somebody. I get to actually, you know, have a conversation about everything that's going on in the world and not feel like some sort of a Looney Tune like idiot. And yeah, it was like this emotional kind of release for him. And it was really cool, like, you know, making that connection and being able to be somebody's first Bitcoiner that they talk to. That's like I feel like that's a pretty unique and special moment. So like if you get to ever be somebody's first out of the closet Bitcoin moment, then yeah, I don't know, cherish those moments, because it won't be long before that kind of thing doesn't happen regularly.
Yeah, Ben, that's a great story. I know I was down in Nashville at Bitcoin Park, and similar kind of thing. This guy traveled from Detroit. He came down and it was his first time meeting with Bitcoiners, even though he's been involved in Bitcoin for at least 2 to 3 years. And dude was literally like crying. He was like, this is incredible. I really recommend people check out Bitcoin Park. And it was funny. So Rod, who runs it, was going to give him like a free drink or a free magazine or whatever. He's like, no, I want to use my Bitcoin to buy this right now. And, you know, it was really cool. He was like, it's my first time being in person with Bitcoiners. And he's basically overwhelmed by it, but he enjoyed it. He had a great time. And he said it was like an incredible place. But yeah, highly recommend people check out Bitcoin Park, or, you know, meet up with Bitcoiners in general. Even just going to your local meetup is very powerful stuff.
Man, I feel like
No,
go for it, MVK. You're good.
Oh, no, like a few of us are going to be at the Bitcoin Park next week. So, you know, if you wanna hang out and sort of ask questions in person and, you know, like confide some of your self-custody secrets that I definitely don't want to know, but you end up telling me anyways. And, you know, we're going to have lots of like different stuff for people to play with. It's going to be there. And yeah, no, it's going to be fun.
I think Bitcoin Park has all the design community and product community coming in.
That's right. It's a design week or something.
That's awesome. MBK, V, let me know if you guys want to stop by the Nashville office. We'd be happy to host you. I often take Bitcoin Park for granted. I live in Nashville. I'm headquartered here with the company. I go every month to our meetups. I was there when MBK did a panel here not too long ago, which was great. That was an awesome panel.
I see Tommy just joined the stage. Tommy was kind enough to show me the gallery with one of my other friends, I think Stackamoto, and it was awesome. They have like really cool art about the jail cell with Ross, and you know, he let me show where all the real work goes down in the warehouse in the back. It was great.
Yeah, Tommy, do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on next week, and maybe want to talk a little bit about what's been going on at the warehouse as well?
Yeah, basically Coin Park next week, if you're like an artist or a designer or any type of creative in the Bitcoin space, it's kind of like that month for us over at Bitcoin Park, because every month they do a meetup, and the meetups have different themes. And this month, it's, I don't know if it's like art or design or what, but you know, it's all that. So if you want to meet a bunch of artists and designers, I'll be there. Yeah. And then at the BMAG is what we call it, the Bitcoin Magazine Art Gallery in Nashville. That's just about a mile and a half, 2 miles away from Bitcoin Park. So if you're in town, you got to look that up, look me up, and come check that out. So you can see all the Bitcoin art that we've collected over the years. Some of my art, I got some of my art.
And you could Park. And you could sign the Ross petition too, right, Tommy? That's what we always do when we stop by.
Yeah, for sure. But you can do that right now. You can go to freeross.org and sign the petition. The real one that counts, what is it? Well, it's like a third party, like real petition thing, so that, you know, people actually see it. There's over a million petitions signed, if I'm not mistaken, but you got to get on there, sign it if you haven't. If you're a Bitcoiner, check out freeross.org and learn about Ross for sure.
The art on the Bitcoin Park is really cool. I mean, like, it's like all the walls have a lot of really awesome Bitcoin stuff.
Yeah, Ben, when is your trip to Nashville going to occur here?
Oh, man, I don't know. I've got so much travel going on this year. But that's one of the places, I would love to get down to Bitcoin Park. It's like yet another Bitcoin mecca that I've got to get down to. But no immediate plans. I'm kind of all over the map this year. Lots of in and out of town there's just so many events. I think I need to start whittling down and saying like, okay, you know, I'm going to a few places each year, and I need to start rotating and figuring out where I'm going. But yeah, definitely high on the priority list of places to see.
Yeah, so guys, I think we're going to shut this off around the top of the hour. So just a heads up, if there's any other conversations, we can keep talking about cold storage, Bitcoin Park, Bitcoin Meccas, loving this conversation. But around 9 a.m. CST, David Bailey and Matt O'Dell are going to be on Citadel Dispatch. They're going to be talking about a very juicy conversation, apparently. I'm not totally in the loop about what that is, but I'm going to be checking it out. So make sure you go over there and show some support to Matt and David as they kind of ramble on. Other than that, once again, we're throwing the Bitcoin conference this year, May 18th through 20th. Mostly everyone you see on stage is going to be down there. It's going to be a great time. Make sure you also join Sessions for his cold card workshop. He's been doing it for a few years. It's really, really a great opportunity if you are a Bitcoiner, you've been in the space, but you don't really know how to take that next step forward to actually taking your coins into self-custody and really becoming that sovereign individual. That's the exact perfect next step you can take to kind of get over that hump in the road. So going to pass the mic off back to the panel if there's anything else we want to talk about. Ben, I see you got your hand up. What's going on?
Yeah, I figured, you know, just in the vein of the conversation, the self-custody conversation, V alluded to it earlier, and so did NVK. But, you know, as you get into the realm of self-custody and you start looking at you know, how you want to store your sats and everything. There's also like the consideration of passing on your sats to your family. And there's, you know, there's a ton of awesome solutions out there that kind of are, you know, get a little bit more automated, but I'd be remiss if I didn't give a huge shout out to what Nunchuck is doing. Nunchuck wallet is, so if you're unfamiliar, you can get it on mobile and desktop, but you know, the mobile solution is kind of their focus. And so you can use it with like a cold card with the NFC on it, or you can use it with the tap signer, which is just, anybody unfamiliar with the tap signer, it's just such an easy on the go solution. And it's so simple. It's basically just a little NFC card that has a pin associated with it. So you generate a private key on the card, you back it up with like a file and a password. And the card itself, yeah, basically, like for me, it's a go-to solution for travel, right? Because, you know, when I'm moving around, I don't necessarily want something that has like a bunch of Bitcoin on it that is easily decipherable as, oh, this is a Bitcoin related item that you know could be confiscated, and there, you know, there goes my sats or something. And so having a little card in your wallet, like, you know, you're not going to get every single, you know, pull out your credit cards. Let's take a look at them. So, yeah. And you can also, you know, get versions of the tap signer that effectively look like a swipe card for a hotel or something. So you can, it's pretty interesting, and it just makes it adds that extra layer of security where, you know, maybe you're going down to the conference and you're like, I want to buy some stuff with Bitcoin, but I don't want to, you know, be sitting there with my laptop air gapping my cold card as I make a transaction to buy something on the showroom floor. Well, and maybe you don't want just all your Bitcoin sitting in a hot wallet as you go to like a huge Bitcoin conference. Well, now you have the option of adding that layer of security where even if somebody stole your phone, they don't have access to your sats. Even if they steal your NFC card, they don't have access to your sats. They would need your phone, the card, and the pin associated with it in order to more or less access your money. And so, yeah, it gives that extra layer of security. But in terms of Nunchuck, you know, you can use the tap signer in that setup, but you can also do things like I was talking about, inheritance planning in like a multi-sig. And so you can, you know, do a combination of like tap signers and cold cards and whatever you like, and put together a multi-sig where Nunchuck holds one of the keys and they become like your backup signer. And then they automate inheritance planning into it. So, you know, you can give basically like a tap signer backup or like some basic information to your next of kin. And then they'll be notified when the inheritance is triggered, and it gives them full instructions that are just easy step-by-step. Okay, go here, put in, you know, your magic phrase, and then put in your password. And then like, they don't, you know, they're none the wiser as to what exactly is happening. Then they don't really have to know. It holds their hand through the whole process. And like, okay, here, we're going to create a wallet that just you hold. And then we're going to sweep all your inheritance into that wallet, and you can go from there. Yeah. So I got to give a hats off to Nunchuck and what they've been doing. Those guys have, I've loved them for quite some time now, you know, especially those of you familiar, last year they were a massive help and fantastic group of guys to me with everything going on in Canada. But I, honestly, what they're building and kind of this partnership with CoinKite is just fantastic. And if you haven't tried Nunchuck out on mobile, then you should probably check it out and grab a tap signer and test it out with Nunchuck, because it's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Is it possible to bring up Rindell? He might be busy, so no worries if he doesn't come up, but he's one of our...
Come up, Rindell.
Yeah, he's one of our good users and other power user that's been tinkering with the Sats card. He's extremely clever in something he figured out, and I'll leave the glory to him if he has the time to explain it.
We'll try to get him up. Maybe Chris, if you can try to grab him out of the audience. I was just going to say, I'm glad that you brought that up, Ben, because
obviously we want to caution people whenever you're going to a conference or you're going to start using some of your stack. You never want to bring your full stack with you. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And there are, at the conference in particular, there are going to be plenty of opportunities to use a Bitcoin and transact in it. We've got lots of Lightning activations. We're going to have the bazaar there where you can literally buy all kinds of different stuff set up there. So definitely highly encourage you to come locked and loaded to spend some coins and use it and transact in it, but definitely don't bring your entire stack. And I just wanted to circle back to what you guys were talking about earlier about really the value of being with Bitcoiners in person and having those conversations. That's exactly, I think, part of the magic of Miami. You get to be around Bitcoiners who have, you know, the same viewpoints as you. Not everybody, but there's healthy debates going on. But for the most part, it's a pretty magical experience to come and be around so many Bitcoiners in one space, whether you're newer to the space or you're an OG in the space. I think that's one of the most beautiful things about getting together in person. So many amazing conversations are going to be happening. Companies get born at the conference. Deals are made. We're fairly confident that the next epoch of like Bitcoin companies and people who are going to come out of where we're at in the market cycle, a lot of them are going to happen in Miami. So if you don't have your ticket, I'm telling you, it's time to bite the bullet and get one. So anyways, that's my little rant about that. But it looks like we got him up to the stage. So yes, come talk to us.
I was waiting for you to try to pronounce the J in the middle of my
name. I was not even going to try. I'm like, I don't remember how they pronounce it.
We all heard it. Yeah, it's all good.
Sorry.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. Yeah, and like anybody who's at the conference, if you find a USB stick in the parking lot that says it has Bitcoin on it, like plug it into a separate computer, maybe not the one with your wallet on it. Yeah.
Go to the library and plug it in.
Yeah, that's the real move. Yeah, I heard V call me out, but I was half paying attention and didn't hear what the... I know you guys were talking about Nunchuck, which I'm super big fan of. Nunchuck's an amazing work.
The context, like, so Ben went over Nunchuck and TapSigner, but I wanted you to kind of explain the cool, unique way you're using Sats cards and how you figured out, like, that the, you know, where... I personally feel like, you know, the ords and inscription stuff has been very polarizing for our community. Some people feel that, hey, it's, you know, free space in the block. It's their economic right. And we have the anarchic philosophy. Other people feel it's polluting the chain because of the initial block download times and, you know, taking away the privilege from people in developing nations who don't have access to hardware. But I think you found that sweet compromise in the middle. So I wanted you to kind of speak to that. Can you guys hear him? I can't hear him.
I think he got disconnected. It says connecting on my screen.
I can't hear him either.
And rug pull. Maybe
he'll be back, but essentially what Rendell figured out is, oh, okay, he's back.
And Elon spends all this money Elon spends all this money putting a Doge in the corner of Twitter and spends no money making Twitter spaces work well on mobile. Yeah, I mean, like, the word thing is interesting. There was actually a pretty recent episode of Bitcoin.review, which is a great Bitcoin podcast that talked about ordinals and, like, some of the trade-offs. Recommend you listen to that, do your own research, form your own opinion. But I think it's important, like, having fun with Bitcoin, I think, is a way that a lot of people got onboarded to Bitcoin. Like, I learned about Bitcoin and got really into it because some guys at a conference had me pick up the bar tab and then they paid me with Bitcoin. And this is like before Venmo was a thing, before Cash App was a thing. And having some dudes that I met at a conference be able to like send money to my cell phone permissionlessly over the internet like blew my mind and sent me down the rabbit hole. So I think like having opportunities to like interact with Bitcoin in new and interesting ways is both good for adoption and it's like fun. Like I like Bitcoin, I like to play with Bitcoin. And it's also interesting for building new marketplaces, new wallets, new products and services. Like there's a whole generation of like new wallets and new, you know, protocols that are being developed around ordinals. So, you know, I'm playing with it, and I took a very early inscription and put it on a sats card, because inscriptions, which are like Bitcoin NFTs, at the end of the day are just Bitcoin, and you can use them just like normal Bitcoin. So I put it on a sats card, and I've actually put a bunch of inscriptions on sats cards, and it's cool that you have this thing that for some people is a digital collectible that you can have on this like physical device. And it's almost like a trading card. Like you can hand it to somebody and you're handing them control of that digital collectible. There's also somebody in the audience who gave me a inscription of a digital rock. And so I did the natural thing and put it on an open dime. And then I went and bought one of those like fake rocks that you put your house key in. And I put an open dime with a rock on it inside of a fake rock and put it in my garden. And, you know, like there's a lot of people who haven't been paying any attention to Bitcoin, but as soon as they saw that you could keep a digital rock in Bitcoin on a USB stick inside of a fake rock, they said, oh, wow, I need to like start playing with Bitcoin more. So yeah, like there's lots of cool things that you can do when you can take this wealth of really rich custody and key management solutions that we've been building in Bitcoin over the last decade, and you can start using them for other applications. It's pretty cool.
That rocks.
And I personally like it and called it a compromise, because then you could physically give the card and you don't use up block space. So everybody wins. You know, if you're going to do this, do it this way, please. And let's be good stewards of the chain and initial block download for people.
Yeah, I mean, passing around sats cards is like a pretty good layer too. And I used to keep a bunch of paper wallets like in my wallet. So like I used to have like five paper wallets with each $20 worth of Bitcoin. And if I went out to lunch with somebody, I'd try to get them to like pay for lunch and I'd hand them a paper wallet. And it was like a little banknote. And I think sats cards are kind of like the newer, better version of that. So I think there's lots of interesting ways to play with handing around Bitcoin keys other than the traditional, you know, here's my hot wallet, here's my cold wallet. And people should, you know, play with them and see how you can just add Bitcoin to other interactions that you have with people.
Well, want to be respectful of BTC Mag's time. I think we're slightly over now, and you guys have David and Odell about to start a dispatch. So
I don't know what they're talking about, but there's no way it's more interesting than digital rocks on an open dime inside of a fake rock. So they can.
I gotta agree. You know,
I'm dying. This is amazing. I did not know Rindell. I got it right. I did not know this story. That's amazing. I absolutely love it. But I feel like we could keep talking about this. But yeah, we do want to encourage people to head over to Citadel Dispatch to listen to the conversation with DB and Odell. It's supposed to be a pretty spicy one. So yeah, and thank you all for joining us today. This has been an amazing conversation. I think now more than ever with, you know, what we're seeing in the banking world and people starting to be worried about their money, about Bitcoin and how to become self-sovereign and self-custody your purchasing power and store the value of your money safely is of the utmost importance. So thank all of you for joining us today. This has been an amazing conversation. I've learned so much and have really, really enjoyed it. So I'll open it up to any closing remarks that anybody wants to throw in.
I'll just say, try it. What was that, MBK?
Just take your money off the exchanges.
Well, yeah, definitely. I'll just sum it up by saying, you know, if you haven't gone down the rabbit hole then of self-custody, then just start. Like you don't need to be perfect at it right away. Use MBK's advice to use a small amount, and you know, all you need to do is just do that first. Okay, I'm gonna set it up and send some Bitcoin to it. And one of the first things that you can do is try wiping your device and restoring it with the backup. And once you're confident in that action of knowing how to use your seed phrase to recover your money, then you'll have done it once and you'll know that you're capable of doing it again. It's a good kind of first action with any cold storage. So yeah, give it a go, dive in, and just know that it's a gradual process and just take that first step.
You know, we didn't even get into it today at all, which I was actually wanting to kind of talk about it a little bit, the CZ Interpol Red Notice. Guys, get your coins out of CZ's hands, out of Sam Bankman Fraud's hands. Get your coins off of exchanges. I promise you that you are going to treat your coins a lot better than CZ is. So take self-custody. NVK, Sessions, Tommy, V, it was great talking to you all today. And yeah, those are my closing remarks.
Hey, I pinned two tweets to the nest up here. One of them is a video of a digital rock inside of a physical rock via Bitcoin. And the other one is a dick butt inscribed on a sats card. So check those out. Get your coins off the exchange. Like, the one thing that Bitcoin actually does is let you transact with people without a trusted middleman and let you actually hold your own money. Like, all Bitcoin stoner philosophy aside, that is the thing that Bitcoin does. So if you don't self-custody your Bitcoin, you're doing it wrong.
Dasher Jr. was just very upset, Rendell.
My final remarks are, get comfortable with people disagreeing with you and Bitcoin's permissive nature of just validating transactions and blocks and permitting all sorts of new use cases we've never thought of. And also remember that we don't want to be the party causing the network externalities. So let's all try to be the best stewards we can so we could always pave it forward.
I love it. So I think that's a wrap, guys. If you want to listen to the conversation between David Bailey and Odell, you can head over to Citadel Dispatch. I don't know why I can't say that, tongue twister. Citadel Dispatch. You can go to the Twitter or the YouTube channel and catch it live. It is happening now. Otherwise, hopefully we will see you in Miami, May 18th through the 20th. Thanks for everyone who joined us, and we'll see you soon.
My fellow plebs, come celebrate Bitcoin Winter in Miami at Bitcoin 2023. The largest Bitcoin conference in the world returns to Miami from Miami 18th to the 20th. Head on over to b.tc/conference to get your tickets today. Use promo code BMLIVE to get 10% off your tickets before prices go up. Plebs, if you're like me and want to gain a deeper understanding of what's going on within the Bitcoin market and broader macro environment, then you need to subscribe to Bitcoin Magazine Pro today. There's a free and a paid version of this daily newsletter where our market analysts Dylan LeClaire, Dr. Jeff Ross, and Sam Rule break down what's going on in the market so you don't have to. Subscribe today at BitcoinMagazinePro.com. As 2023 begins, the broke issue stares head-on into the looming realities of a broken economy, a more broke central bank, and considers how Bitcoiners can share their knowledge, their projects, and their mentalities to remain strong economic nodes throughout the winter. As a global Bitcoin news medium with a mission to accelerate hyper-Bitcoinization, Bitcoin Magazine is for all Bitcoiners, the curious, convicted, and the maximalists. Inside Bitcoin Magazine, you will find exclusive interviews and profiles with leading Bitcoiners, actionable insights on the state of the market, breaking news and cultural trends, and powerful photos and artwork from the best artists in the world. Each issue will be shipped safely in a secure box mailer to protect the integrity of each copy. Print magazines, not money. Buy Bitcoin Magazine.